My guest on our program today is Boone County Supervisor Eric Kratzinger. Good to have you here.
Hey, good morning. It's definitely an honor
to be here. Been a while.
Yes, it has. But boy, through the years, it seems I've been here a few times. Everything looks familiar, including yourself.
Yeah. Well, yes. Hey, thanks, because I don't get to see you as often as I used to in the olden days.
There you go.
Boone County Board of Supervisors, of course. You guys have been busy. Now, Sean Bryant in, so yes. We've had that little bit of a changeover. Here we are. Yeah. Well, you're coming up on the end of your fiscal year.
Correct.
And
last month, right now.
Yeah, as we go, here we go. This is, again, a time, well, the part that I found entertaining was we have our budget amendment for the current fiscal year budget, but we have a second part that'll be coming up because of some decisions the board made recently regarding your ARPA money, the money that the federal government paid. What'd you end up with, about $5 million?
I think it was about $5.2 million was awarded to Boone County.
And you guys decided, well, we want to make sure this gets committed, doesn't get clawed back.
Yes. It was an unknown, and that was certainly those dollars towards specific projects were so important that
well, you kind of had an idea.
Yes,
kind of had an idea of what you were looking at anyway.
Correct.
The biggest chunk, county sheds.
Yes, yeah, and you maybe more know more than most, but we have three county sheds that are primary county sheds: Boone, Madrid, Ogden, and then we have like Berkeley. We have a small shed in Boxholm. We have one up at Mackey, but the three primary sheds is what we operate out of on a daily basis. Two of them, the one in Madrid and the one in Boone, were built by the Works Progress Progress Administration. So, 1930s?
Late 30s, yeah.
So they're coming up on 100 years old. And part of the factor there is that the buildings, the entrances to the building, you know, things have gotten bigger since 1930. And so we have challenges of getting our equipment into the buildings. And that creates the challenge when you want to replace equipment or need to replace equipment because new things are not made to fit. And so what we've been doing in Madrid especially is we have to either take our own equipment or buy something else and have it completely reconditioned by the manufacturer or whomever it is that we would use so that we can fit the equipment into the shed. Which is as expensive as buying new.
Oh, yeah.
And so those sheds are just, they've long outlasted their useful life, and we've acknowledged that. So there was the plan when I came in, 2.5 years ago, the plan had been put together for a combined county shed out in the...
out by the Central Iowa Expo.
Iowa Expo. We bought land. The county bought land out there. We're going to combine the Madrid and the Boone sheds, but it only got as far as buying the land. And you know, I can talk about a little bit more about that, but at the same time, we have an Ogden shed that covers the entire west side of the county, west of the river, pretty much, with some help from the Berkeley shed. Mm-hmm. And that one it's a cold storage shed.
Yeah.
So dirt floor.
Yep.
And uninsulated and so on. So we knew that was going to need to be done too. So by the time you put the consolidated shed in Central Iowa Expo and you replace the Ogden shed to get what we need to get back to where we need to be, we're coming up with currently about $21 million to accomplish all of that. And that would mostly come onto the local taxpayers. So that's why we chose to use some of the ARPA dollars, American Rescue Plan. And then we have some others that we've saved here and there. We have that land, which we can sell. So our plan at this point is to replace all three sheds on site, and that should come in at around $6 million. So 21 versus 6, we think that's a better value, because my question was always, you know, a big new consolidated shed, how will my gravel road be improved? Yeah. By that, and if not, then we don't have to spend that much.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is, we knew we got. Well, first of all, Jonathan Bullock selected to be the new engineer, and very familiar anyway. Yes. Previously, had been working here in the department, but very familiar with what was going on. So he went out, got the proposals. Tenfold, we'll be working with you on the Ogden shed, and that really was kind of setting the stage for what you were looking at, because we kind of had to figure out what are we going to spend there, because that is a must-do.
Yes, and that's our first must-do, and we want to get that done. And really the idea, and John's been fantastic to work with on this project. It just since he's come, he's done a great job. That's from my position. But what we needed to do is iron out the details on this shed, and then we can duplicate it in the other two and make them all what we need it to be. Yeah. So, and again, at a very reasonable cost. So we have allocated, of that $6 million, we allocated $2.2 million of the remaining ARPA dollars to that project. So, and that just basically removes it from the local property taxpayer having to cover that cost through a bond.
So that one, the other big commitment you've got will be for Don Williams. I mean, you've already said we'll go there. The issue now is, what are we going to? What's going to be happening? And again, we've seen a little bit of a shift recently to rehabbing and adding on.
Correct. So. Yeah. There's been plans through the years. People on a napkin have kind of drawn out. You know what we could do? Just tear it down and build this nice. And that would include, you know, a space big enough to hold weddings and things like that. And for me personally, I don't see the Don Williams clubhouse. Or even the golf course itself. I don't see that a government-funded or owned facility like that should be competing with our private. You know, we have other golf courses in the county that we want to make sure we're providing a good product, but that it's a more economical, but not trying to be what, you know, it could be if we raised a lot of taxes again. So anyway, it started out as quite an elaborate design and expensive at that point. And now it's down to, you know what we really need? And this is what's coming to us is, you know what we really need is to add on. The basement is where the bathrooms are. I've been down there. It's not an easy way, very steep and small stairs and everything, to bring bathrooms, put them up on the main level, and then add on maybe to the kitchen, to the dining area, the seating area. So that's, I think, the direction. And this is probably a good point.
We'll point out the County Conservation Board will be working on this.
Exactly. You know, I've had no issue in the 2.5 years on the board. I've had no issue that has brought more public input than the clubhouse or the golf course. And I listen, of course, I want to hear that. But unfortunately, mostly my answer is the Conservation Board, once they're appointed, there's five members, once they're appointed by the Board of Supervisors, they control those decisions. They come to us for the funding. And so that's really the only, you know, we can provide input just like anyone else can. But end of the day, our only real veto power, if anything, would be in the funding. And we want to be reasonable. We want good facilities. So we work together.
What the policy side of it is, our policy is we set that, they do the work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's important that we keep a close relationship. And again, we appoint the members of the Conservation Board. I've been involved in the appointment of three.
Now, obviously one of the hot topics that always comes up in that area is, well, they make bad decisions on where the money goes. Any money proceeds coming in come into the general fund. Right. And that's been pretty much the way that's been handled. And a certain amount goes out towards county conservation as their budget, for their budget.
Correct.
So we've got that. Yeah. One of the challenges is a lot of people say, well, money at Don Williams should stay there. Campground money should stay with the campgrounds and stuff like that.
Right.
That's a little harder to do.
Right. I think it's a simplistic view. It makes it easy. If they take the money, they should keep the money. But there are other parts of the county park system that don't raise any money. And so they would effectively go away if we only allowed the funds that came in directly for it. So, you know, you have to create good facilities, camping, you know, campgrounds and the golf course and rental cabins. And we have good facilities. And so they do generate revenue. But those are the things that people want. They're full. Mm. Constantly. I mean, just so that's kind of an indication of how much people want those services or want those amenities. But then there are also some tremendous natural areas that we maintain in the county that maybe not as many people use it in the same way, but they're beautiful areas and they provide tremendous benefits.
It's like so many things. I only use the golf course. Right. I only worry about that.
Right, you know? So right.
I don't care about riding the trail.
Right. So. See, I'm the bike rider.
Which gets a lot of traffic, you know. So you've got all those. but our camping facilities. Now, one of the challenges for county conservation is we've had a lot of turnover within that particular department. Again, retirements and things like that and people moving to other positions.
Right.
So we have a relatively young group there.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. But I see that as opportunity, you know, opportunity to learn and without a preconceived notion of what's worked in the past, let's figure out what works today. So it can be an opportunity for growth, and I think that's what's happening.
So we'll have more things going on there.
Yeah.
That's right. We've also now incorporated, and I guess we're probably a whole year into a new communications area. You helped. Eric jumped right into that, and he goes, what did I do?
Yeah.
Well, there was questions about, you know, equity in reimbursement or payment or contributions.
The cost towards it, because it's all of the communities in the county well, I will say all. Boone, Ogden, and Madrid provide funding, as does Boone County, which when we provide funding at Boone County, we're providing it for all of the other smaller communities as well as the rural area. Mm-hmm. So, and when I came in, one of the first things I learned was that this board, the group, had this disagreement about funding, and it had been almost 2 years since they had met because nobody wanted to talk. And you're right, I was the stupid one that said, well, heck, I can figure that out. And I did it using math. And the simple concept of per capita, that we are, when someone calls 911, we don't want them to ask, where do you live?
Yeah.
We want them to know, what's your emergency? And so it really gets down to what is the service we're providing? And that should be equally split among every person in Boone County. And so if a jurisdiction and a person lives in that jurisdiction, say City of Boone, then their percentage of the whole should be the percentage of the budget. Mm-hmm. And we were able to put it together. I have detailed instructions so that when I'm gone, somebody else can look at it and say,
how did I get there?
Yes. I see it. And so it's very sustainable. All we have to know is what's the budget and what are the what's the population of the county and each of those three cities. Mm-hmm. And it calculates itself. And we could come together then on a concept like mm-hmm. that.
One of the challenges, it's, well, outside of many departments, like many, having enough people to continue to fill the positions that are needed, but the volume of work has continued to go up.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it?
And I think that's nationwide through the pandemic. People were home, and for some reason, they just got on the phone to call 911 and said, there's a dog running loose. Okay, what would you like us to do about that? Well, call somebody, fix this. And people just got very comfortable with calling about most anything. My neighbor is painting only one side of their house. What can we do about that? And so that's kind of continued where people have become very comfortable calling with non-emergency things. And that's really a problem. I mean, we're responding. All of the services are being provided. But a lot of times I think the dispatchers have to look through and go, okay, this isn't really an emergency, but here's who you call, or we'll have someone call you. So, but that has continued, you know, at a higher level. So, but we do have, right now we're very stable in the number of people. We have really great dispatchers, and we have a great dispatcher administrator. That's a new position that came about. So really things are going very well there.
And she, well, it's Emily McCoy, been previously involved with the communication center.
She was a dispatcher, yes.
So, and again, part of it was, as that all rolled together here recently, it's like half a fiscal year. So how are we working it? So it's coming along pretty good.
Oh, very well. Their board, communications board, met last week. And what I've heard, Sean Bryant is our representative to that board, and he reported back to our board that everybody thinks things are going fantastic there, as well as the money is not flowing out as much as they thought to provide those services. Okay. So they were kind of short on what they expected, and it's even below that.
Okay. Well, we did have a special election because you guys had decided to appoint a sheriff, and then there was a petition. And so Andy Gudzicki is the sheriff. Things been working pretty well there.
Fantastic. He's done a great job. And he, himself, and there were two other candidates that came to us, Deputy Corey Rose and Chief Deputy Cole Hoffman. And so the three of them were who we considered at the time. And since Andy has won that election, all three of them have worked really, really well together to assign duties. And Corey was promoted to a sergeant.
Sergeant, yep.
And
patrol.
Yep. Yeah, patrol sergeant. So everything I hear from across the street, the north side, the law enforcement center, all I hear are good things all the way around. So I think there's a great team spirit there.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy, as a leader, I think is a good part of that.
Speaking of some of the ARPA money, by the way,
yes.
did go into the law enforcement center. People forget that's 20-some years old, and
yeah.
that's had a lot of wear and tear.
It does. Get a lot of, go figure. The inmates don't like where they're staying,
yeah.
and so they tend to destroy things yeah. from time to time. So we're careful about what we put. But one of the decisions recently made was with the floor, which was 20 mm-hmm. years old, pulling up the tile and whatever that was there, and they just polished the concrete underneath and spent not that much, and at the end of the day, we've got a good solid floor underneath. So good decisions yeah. like that.
Takes a little time. We get
yeah.
there, we learn. So
yeah.
what are some of the other things you guys have been doing?
Holy cow. Well, I actually wrote down a few things just to remind myself if we got to this point. But, one of the things that we as a Board of Supervisors, and this has been going on for several years, is we want to promote economic development mm-hmm. in Boone County. But how do you do that? And the best way we've found to not only encourage new commercial businesses to come in, but also all the residential development that we see is quite honestly by keeping our expenses in line and keeping our tax rate down, because low taxes tend to attract people. And as we add more to our tax base, that helps keep the tax down for everybody, and it's just a great way to, and it has been working phenomenally. Boone County is the 26th largest county by population in the state of Iowa, so about halfway through the first half of it.
Mm-hmm.
So 99 counties, we're 26th by population, but we have the third lowest tax rate in the state. So everyone is benefiting from the development that's coming in, and especially over by the Ames and the Story County line, just aside, there's housing, some tremendous housing development going on there, high dollar
mm-hmm.
housing that they pay taxes to, to Boone County, that we all benefit from having that added. There's also been some tremendous new commercial development. Landis Co-op is putting a significant, development just north of their facility, east of Boone by the Central Iowa Expo. And that's a project I worked on and learned about tax increment financing.
You learned that hard. You got to jump into it with both feet. You just well learned.
Yeah. Well, and I use a bonding attorney. We use mm-hmm. a bonding attorney. So I didn't go in totally blank, somebody to guide through that. But mm-hmm. I now know the process. And so if we have any more tax increment financing opportunities or requests, I can step in and kind of lead that from here on. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have that in my pocket. But there with Landis has been, that's like $14 million investment mm-hmm. there, but they're already talking about additional expansions in the county. So that's a nice one. Hicklin Power Sports, which is
over on the east end. Yeah,
yeah, that's going to also be built just south of Highway 30 on the east edge of the county. And so when people have their side-by-sides and motorcycles and snowmobiles and what have you, that will now be in Boone County. And when there are retail products like that, there's another side of the county that is local option sales tax.
Yep.
If you're in City of Boone, that if someone goes and buys clothing down
a taxable
the street,
item, yes.
Yeah, there a penny is coming back to the city that can be used for various things. And the same happens in the county, but it doesn't seem like there's many things to generate that. And yet, as places like Hicklin Power Sports, but Redeker's is out in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Seven Oaks is a tremendous
sure.
draw. So that presents money that we can then use. Some of it goes towards repairing secondary roads,
mm-hmm.
But a quarter of that also goes towards supporting local community development. Or so YSS, the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, the Boone Chamber, the Madrid Chamber, the Ogden, it's called Ogden Legacy,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just a big, long list of things that we're able to do with those.
On the economic development side, again, you have Ames Economic Development has come over to do a number of things. So you have been kind of working with them as well, too.
Correct. Yeah, we do through our investment in the Boone County Economic Growth Corp. Yep. Yes. So we and it's $45,000 a year that the county invests of local option sales tax into Boone County Economic Growth Corp. They have now partnered with Ames. I am having so much trouble keeping all these names
Ames Economic
together.
Development, yes.
Ames Economic Development Commission. So their expertise and their bench of people to step in and help with these projects has been a benefit to Boone County, and we're bringing employers in, we're bringing jobs in, we're bringing investment in as a result of that. So we appreciate the partnership there.
One of the more frustrating issues you guys have been having, getting that updated comprehensive plan. And I know Mike Cilotti has talked about the past. He's been a little disappointed that it hasn't been. And I know your concerns are we going to get a product that will be beneficial to
us? That is my concern, is that, the project, not on our side, but on the contractor side, the engineering firm that we use for this, the performance promises were not met so far as the timeliness of the project and of the report. My understanding is that person, anyway, I know they're no longer with the engineering firm, and someone else has taken it over, and we're making great progress now. So what we wish would have happened before is happening now, and I've seen and have gone through parts of the comprehensive plan draft. And I think we are going to have a very good and useful document when it's all done that's going to guide our development over by Ames and throughout the county going forward. So,
those are challenges.
Yeah.
You got them all? They keep going.
Yeah.
So excited to have Ragbri come through again?
I'm actually going to be riding that day.
You can ride it.
Yeah.
Because you know those roads.
Yeah.
And we get the loop in here.
Yes.
But again, that's one of those secondary roads. They go out, they got to make sure the roads are suitable for this.
That's the first thing they did. I remember, I don't know how many years back, Crawford County had the instance where, unfortunately, a rider went over their handlebars, got caught in, their wheel got caught in a crack, they went over the handlebars, and they passed as a result of that. And that's when the Crawford County Board of Supervisors said, nope, that's not going to happen here again. And Ragbri is banned from Crawford County. Yeah. We don't want to get there.
Yeah.
But once
we have too many good hills.
That's right. We want them to hit the hills. Well, but by the time they're coming, then the first thing, and once you know the route, then let's go take a look. Yeah. What do we need? And some folks have said, is that the only time we're going to fix a road is when Ragbri comes through? And trust me, no.
Nope.
We are constantly looking at conditions on all roads, and we have a five-year plan. It's required by the DOT, but we have a five-year plan to evaluate all of our roads and make upgrades and improvements and repairs as needed. But when it's in an off year, you just want to make sure, and you also want to make a very good impression with the people who are coming through that it was nice. So we have a great route for them on E57.
And they'll still have hills to go up and down, folks.
That's very sure.
I am going to be running out of time here shortly.
Sure.
I was going to say, I know that there are a number of other things you guys continue to work on. People talk about the overpass.
No, but the only thing that's come about recently about the overpass, two things. One is residents in that area came in to ask for a engine brake ordinance that because semis that are coming across, and I think they come to a T, and it happens rather quickly that they use their engine brake, which makes a lot of noise and wakes you up in the middle of the night. And I appreciate where they're at. The problem is enforcing an ordinance such as that. You know, we can make it, we can put signs up, but boy, how do you catch someone doing that at 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon even? So that's the challenge, and the board decided not to do an ordinance, but working with the DOT, we're getting a lot of additional signage there, a flashing red light, so that all vehicles, all drivers will know there's a stop right ahead. And I think that's really going to be our best solution there.
As we usually have at least our weekly through the intersection into the field.
Has that been happening?
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's, I guess I haven't.
S and 200th.
Oh.
Anytime I get an S and 200th Street, I know.
I'll be darned. I guess I'm out of the loop on that.
We get a few. I get a few of those over there, too. I do appreciate you taking time to come and visit with us and give us an update on what's going on. Supervisors, you meet once a week, but board members take turns being in there throughout the week.
Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday mornings, we're there. It's supposed to be from 9 to 11. I do Monday mornings, and I'm generally 8:30 to noon or so. So if anybody comes in, I'm around on Mondays. But otherwise, we meet Wednesday mornings for a somewhat of a marathon section. That I'm. Thank you for tuning in on our meetings and reporting on the things that we're doing.
I keep track. It's easy while I'm on the air, so I can go back and forth and do things like that.
Yeah, but that's appreciated.
And occasionally, I get to throw in something.
So. We enjoy that the most because you have great knowledge of everything that's gone on around Boone and Boone County for decades now. And so I'm hoping that maybe you'll consider becoming a supervisor at some point. Let me put you on the spot.
There. Thanks for joining us today.
Let's segue to
that, and we'll get into our local news and stuff.
But wonderful.
Do appreciate you taking time and joining us today on our Tuned In program. Eric Kretzinger, Boone County Supervisor, has been our guest.